What's it mean to do justly? It means in conformity to the law, justice or propriety, by right or what is right. The offender is justly condemned. When I looked up this word justly, I found that it's only used twice in the Bible. Two times justly is used in the Bible. Here in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 41. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 41. And here we are, it puts us at the cross of Jesus Christ. The two thieves are with him. And in verse 39 it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." And that first thief on the cross was like many people today who come to the church. Oh, save me from my problems. Save me from my situation. But I don't really want you, Lord. I just want to be free of the problems that are in my life. Oh, there's nothing with a life without Christ. And this thief, all he was concerned about was getting down off the cross. He wasn't concerned about following Christ. And he's like some of those out there this morning who are lost and on the way to hell. You're only concerned about your situation. You're only concerned about your problems, but you're not really thinking about your eternal soul. Oh, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" This other thief on the cross, he realized, yes, we deserve to be on this cross. We deserve to burn and go to hell forever and ever. But he recognized that Jesus Christ had done nothing. But this man, Jesus, had done nothing amiss. He said in verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Again, this thief had recognized, no, we justly, we deserve to burn in hell. We deserve to die on this cross, but Jesus hasn't done anything. Oh, that just got a hold of my heart. Oh, this thief, he recognized, hey, I deserve this. Oh, the first thing we need to do justly. And again, we cannot start living the life that we need to live until we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, may God get a hold of you. Those of you out there who are not saved, oh, give your heart to Christ. I am so glad Paul Montano, the man who led me to Christ, asked me, "Steve, if you died, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" I'd had some ideas. I had 2 years in Europe, 2 years in Asia in the Air Force, putting away for schooling. I was going to go into journalism. I was going to make all kinds of money. And I thought about, no, I'll do something, have an orphanage. But when I got confronted with the gospel, I realized before I can start doing anything for God, first I got to give Him my heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Again, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, and the key about coming to faith from the heart. See, when Christ comes in the heart, there's going to change that's going to come in your life. You can't be the same person. I shared with my people over and over again in South Africa. Again, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. But guess what? Don't forget, that old nature is still there in you. And that old nature doesn't want to obey God. It wants to obey the flesh. It wants to do its own thing. And so now we, if we're a believer, then we're going to have this battle inside going on. And that's why some of you are having struggles today. And maybe you've forgotten, hey, you know what? That old nature's still there. And it still wants to do the wrong things. It still wants to watch the wrong things. It still wants to listen to the wrong things. It still wants to say the wrong things. It still wants to touch the wrong things. And part of the way in getting victory is we got to recognize, hey, we still have that old nature and we have to be on guard. And that's why every morning I wake up, I get in the Word, I read through the Bible every year, 5 chapters a day. Some days, not 5, but again, it makes it so I'm able to go through the Bible at least once in a year. Why? Because I recognize, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. I realize the importance of having God's Word in my heart. Why? Because I still have that old nature. And that old nature still wants to do the wrong things. And when it gets hurt, it wants to say the wrong things back. But now that I have that new nature, it reminds me of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath for Christ's sake forgiven you. Oh, when we let God get a hold of our hearts and our lives, and He'll change us and transform us, and then we won't start saying mean things back when someone says something mean to us. Why is it so hard to do right? Because of our sin nature. Our sin nature wants to do what is wrong, but the Holy Spirit wants us to do what is right. And the thing you need to think about today is, which one will you listen to? Oh, we listen to the thief on the cross. The one, he just thought about his flesh. The other, again, he realized, no, I'm lost. We deserve what we've got. But this man, Jesus, he's done nothing amiss. Oh, we got to come to that place realizing, no, we need to ask God, help me every day. Like that song I sang, last song I sang, Together with You, My Lord. The only way you and I can live the kind of life that God wants us to live is together with You, My Lord. Even though I've been saved now, coming up, 40 years. I thought, wow, 40 years, it's going to be a lot easier. But it hasn't gotten any easier. Yes, the Lord is still there. Battles are still there. But I realize it, then the devil comes from different ways. And that's why we got to be in the Word and let the Word be in us. That's why John chapter 15 verse 7 it says, Abide in me and my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We need to have Him abiding in us and His words abiding, living out His words. Oh, it's so easy to quote the Scripture, but it's a different thing to live out the Scripture. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to make it a part of us. He wants to impress upon our hearts, and then we can impart His words of life to others. Oh, but then that thief heard the greatest words that anybody could ever hear. He said, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, once he asked the Lord, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Oh, that thief, he went to the cross. It was going to be over. He's dying. It's it. My life's over. But here he comes to faith, and now Jesus says, No, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah! Oh, woke up that day thinking I'm going to die and it's all over. But now, hallelujah, I'm going to be in glory. Amen. Oh, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Are you lost this morning? Have you admitted your lost condition like this thief on the cross? But you say, Pastor, I'm not a bad person. But what does the Bible say? For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, it is the hardest in talking to people who are living good lives to bring them to Christ. Because, oh, I'm pretty good. Others I'd be sharing Christ to, they say, Oh, I know someone who says they're a believer and I live better than they do. For you out there who have put your faith and trust in God, think about that. People are using you as an excuse not to come to Christ. Because you're not living the way you're supposed to. It does matter how you and I live, because people are watching us. In my reading today, reading the account of God was going to judge Israel. And he said, even though Noah and Daniel and Job were alive at this time and living and preaching the word, it wouldn't help them. They're going to die. They're going to be judged. And as I thought about that, and I thought about our world today, how we're living and we're just forsaking God's word. And even though those three men were alive today, hey, he's going to judge. And so it's a wake-up call for all of us out there. Hey, we need to realize, we need to be prepared, be ready. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh, we need to be prepared for death. We prepare for everything else. Hey, are you preparing for death? Way to do it, go to church, be in God's Word. Let God's Word be in you. Live out its truths. Oh, we've all come short. We need to first put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Then we can live justly. The next thing that God requires of us is to love mercy. To love mercy. That benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. That disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than the law or justice will warrant. Oh, how many times have I heard people, oh, that person hurt my feelings, or they did this or that. And as I was reading through the scriptures, and I came across Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and what? Nothing shall offend them. That was just like a smack upside the head. Hey, Steve, you let that person offend you. You let that person get to you. You let your wife get to you. Hey, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Talking to my daughter this past week, again, she reminded me, isn't Jesus' love unconditional? Hey, my own daughter preaching to me. The daughter I raised up and brought up in my home, telling her, this is the way you need to live, Bethany. And she's saying, well, Daddy, isn't God, didn't Jesus, we need to love unconditionally? I said, it comes back to you. And we need to be, hey, that's right. I need to love unconditionally. Even though my flesh doesn't want to. My old nature says, no, I'll give if they give back to me. But what does the Bible say? No, give, and it shall be given unto you. Oh, to love mercy. We have an account in John chapter 8. A woman taken in adultery. They said, hey, according to the law, this woman, she needs to be stoned to death. Jesus turns around and tells them, all right, those without sin, cast the first stone. And so the eldest to the youngest, they depart. Then Jesus turns to her and says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he saith unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Hey, learn from it. And we need to learn to have mercy. Oh, so often we just want judgment, judgment, judgment. And I confess, I was that type of person. But as I've grown in Christ and the more years now, 40 years in Christ again, God's reminding, no, I need to start showing more mercy. When I was young in Christ, I was, oh, that person's done wrong. Cast stones. Stone them. Stone them. Stone them. But is that what we have the example of Jesus? No. He didn't condone what the woman did. He just told her, all right, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. And we need to start showing that same type of mercy towards each other. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 says, be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. God's mercy is eternal. God's mercy is boundless. God's mercy forgives sin. God's mercy makes salvation possible. And we are encouraged to exercise it. But we seem to have a problem in showing mercy many times. And finally, the third thing that God requires of us is to walk humbly. To walk humbly. Opposite of pride. Josiah, when he ruled at 8 years old, but he humbled himself when he heard God's word. Someone had found the law and they read it, and wow, he realized, wow, we're in a bad situation. But he humbled himself, sackcloth and ashes, got down before God, all right, God, do work. And he started out his kingdom right. And many times that's what we do. God gets a hold of our heart and we confess our sins, we forsake it, and we get serving and we start going forward for God, and then God starts blessing us materially. And that, you know, sometimes when I see in the children of Israel in the Old Testament, when God blessed them materially, how many times they ended up serving the blessing more than the blesser. When being in church was the most important thing. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. That's not important anymore. Oh, one service here, one service there, one service here. Next thing you know, you're going somewhere on Sunday instead of being in church. Oh, we need to ask God, God, help us to get our lives in line with you. As I followed Josiah, though, later on in life, again, he came out to, again, God had blessed him because he had humbled himself. God had made him victorious, and the kingdom became wealthy. And then he saw Pharaoh going to attack someone, and he decided he's going to go and attack him. And Pharaoh said, hey, I don't have anything against you, Josiah. Just go back home. God didn't tell me to do anything to you. But Josiah didn't listen. Why? He's full of pride. I'll save you, Israel, the northern kingdom. And so he ended up getting killed. Oh, pride. How many lives has pride reckoned? Oh, you can't talk to me like that. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, we need to ask God, help us humble ourselves, humble our hearts. So many times we get a place where we start serving God and everything's just going great and we're on a high and we just going forward, and then, bam, God has to do something to bring us down to, hey, wake up. Your life's getting full of pride now. Pride blinds, and then it binds. When I read that statement, I thought, wow, that's powerful. First, pride blinds you. Then it binds you. It reminds me of something else. A three-letter word, sin. Oh, I can do that without worrying about it. Well, you know what? You go ahead and do that, and you find next thing you're going to find yourself in bondage to it. Oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. Be careful, little ear, what you hear. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Why? Because your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, that's simple songs that we sing in Sunday school. But again, many times, powerful message reminding us, hey, be careful. Another song I love, we sang in Sunday school, song on the bus. Now all of a sudden my mind's gone. When I read God's Word each day, I will ask myself three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What is God saying to me? I will ask God's Holy Spirit, who lives in my heart, if you're saved, to show me the answers clearly, so I'll know God's message to me. That's what we need to be asking ourselves today and every day when we're in God's Word, when we're hearing the preaching of God's Word. How can I apply that to my life today? We've heard three things that God requires of us this morning. He requires of us to do justly. First, you need to be saved and then start living right. What does it say in Peter? Be holy. Why? For I am holy. God wants you and I to be holy. And then to love mercy. He wants us to have a forgiving spirit. Too many times we're just ready to cast stones and burn and put people out. What did Jesus tell Peter? Forgive him 7 times 70. Keep trying. Reminds me of something else, Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Would you want someone to give up on you? No. Well, don't give up on them. Just keep on going and going and going. And pray that God will open their eyes and restore. And finally, to walk humbly with thy God. Oh, if we can walk humbly. Lord, help me realize again, I'm sure David never thought he could commit adultery and murder. But it came. And what happened? He wasn't where he's supposed to be. When he was supposed to be out with his soldiers, he was back home. Now again, it wasn't because he didn't want to go out there. He'd listened to counsel. He got bad counsel. And because he wasn't where he's supposed to be, he fell into sin. And that's what happens to you and I today. When we stop listening to God's Word, and the next thing we're in some place we're not supposed to be, and then the next thing we're doing something we're not supposed to do. Oh, with every head bowed and every eye closed, what about you this morning? Is God speaking to your heart about something? Do you need to be saved? I encourage you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. Maybe you're there and you say, Lord, spoken to my heart about loving mercy, walking humbly. Hey, confess it for sake. Ask God to give you victory in whatever area that you're struggling in. Oh, I just pray that God would just work His work in your heart and life. And again, that we would see God be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. That was one thing I remember before I got saved. I was also, why am I here? Why am I here on this earth? And then the pastor preached Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And he answered my question. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for Him. We need to start, wake up and start living like we're living for Him. Pastor.
Well, right now we're just going to have a moment of invitation. Right there in your home, you can make that couch or that chair an altar. And if God has dealt with you today, to live justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God, that you would make that choice today in your life to be totally surrendered to Him. The gospel has been plainly given this morning. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've never called upon Him. I want to encourage you right now that you would do that. We're going to just have a song of invitation. You'll hear this, and we'll just wait quietly and just encourage you this morning to do business with God. Just encourage you, if you don't know for certain that you are saved right now, that you cry out to Him. You say, I don't know exactly what to say. Just pour out your heart to Him. There are no magical words, but this you do need to recognize, that you're a sinner, that only Jesus Christ can forgive your sin. You have to be serious with God, but if you'll just call on Him, just say something like, God, I recognize that I'm sinful. I know you hate my sin, but I realize you love me. I know you sent your son to die for me on that Roman cross. And he did it to shed his blood so that blood could cleanse me from my sin. And right now I call upon you to come into my life and save me and cleanse me from my sin. Just put your trust in Him. Reach out to Him by faith. Ask Him right now, and He'll do exactly that. Father, we thank you so much for what we've heard from your word today, and just ask, Lord, that you would use the preaching of your word to encourage us to walk with you, convict us where we're not walking with you, and Lord, just to draw us closer to you, and we'll thank you for that. Thank you for Brother Myers and his ministry. Continue, Lord, to bless him as he's home on furlough, and then, Lord, as he heads back home soon, that you would just continue to use him and his wife there in South Africa. And I pray a special blessing for him, Lord, as he travels out to Kansas to be there for his mom's funeral, that you'd encourage him during these days. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me again just mention to you before we say goodbye this morning that what we've done this morning is precautionary. We have had some of our members exposed to COVID and possibly have it, and a number of other folks in our church family were around some of those folks. So this is just precautionary. We don't know a bunch of people that have COVID. Just want to make sure that we don't have any issues moving forward. It was last year, this very weekend, today's September 19th, last year on September 20th, we had that major outbreak here. So we just want to do what we can. We're just trying to be smart about this to prevent anything like that from happening again. So we will let you know in a few days as to the status of those who have gotten sick, and we'll let you know, and we will let you know about Wednesday night and in the Sundays to follow. But this will not be a long shutdown at all. Some other churches are doing the same thing when they have people get sick and have been exposed to other members in the church. We just want to make sure that this does not become extensive. So pray for those folks, and we'll be praying for each other. Lord bless you and give you a great day today. Just remember to honor him on this, the Lord's Day. Goodbye.